Good evening. Welcome to the Permaculture Show. Here we are again. It's been a bit of an up and down week weather-wise. It's been a bit touch and go in the garden, although all the stuff that's supposed to be there is doing really well. So, chuffed about that. And I'm really, really happy this evening because I have joining me Janta and Marev and Somna. And they are from Karuna, which is a permaculture project in Shropshire. They sold their home and they invested their life savings into 18 acres of previously monocultural grazing land in order to recycle it into a productive multifunctional education facility that could practice and demonstrate all kinds of permaculture projects. Phew! Welcome, Janta, Marev, Somya. Thank you for being here.
Good evening. Thanks for asking us.
Yeah, hi, this is Janta, and it's pronunciation for Marev is Marev.
Marev, yeah.
And Soma.
And Soma.
Yeah. Oh, Marev, you say it because there should be an R rolled there, shouldn't there? I can't do it. No. How should it be pronounced?
Marev.
Marev. I can't do that. I don't know why.
I've tried. Don't worry about it too much.
Okay then, so I think we just kick off then really with you can talk a little bit about your background, guys, and how you came to being where you are. We kick off from there.
Well, I'm Janta, and so many things to say, and I think we're coming back again to sort of like focus a bit more after we've gone through kind of broad discussion and explanation and some questions and answers and stuff. So to start, Karuna is an educational resource that we've decided to move into a new style of life, a low impact living, as a result of our lifetime's experiences right up to date to when we last did some travelling in 2004, living in Southeast Asia, in Thailand, Malaysia, Burma and Laos. The experiences that we've made throughout our life up until that point, and particularly climate change and stuff, that we experienced through our travelling years, has kind of brought us to a point where we wanted to take a jump into a more sustainable, it's not a totally sustainable lifestyle, but to try to move forward and demonstrate and encourage other people how to live more sustainably. So to start with, what I'll say about myself is that because I think when you choose to live in a manner that we've chosen to live, I think if you go back to your roots and you find out what it is that's inspired you to do what you've done in your life and take the steps and move in certain directions. So I was brought upon a housing estate that was right on the edge of the countryside. I was lucky that that was right on the edge of the countryside. And that has had a massive influence on my life. Marev was brought up in Israel on a kibbutz, which is a socialist agricultural community in northern Israel, and already I'm struggling and not really knowing what to say, so I think Marev can say something about herself, about where she's from and her childhood and the influences that have made her take the steps that she's taken towards living this way as well.
I can shine. Say a few words about the kibbutz. I grew up in kibbutz near David in Israel, which, as Janta said, is a socialist community. It's very kind of cut off society from the rest of normal society in Israel. And some people describe it as living in a bubble, quite idyllic sort of way of life, very quiet, working hard, and with quite a lot of freedom to do what we wanted most of the time. Well, it seems like that for a child. For an adult, of course, there's a lot more restrictions. But yeah, as an adult, I decided not to live in the kibbutz because I'm not going to talk about it right now. But it did give me a feeling of being connected to nature, I think, which I missed since I've left the kibbutz. When I was about 20, I left the kibbutz. I had to do an army service that you've got to do in Israel, and then I left the kibbutz to travel and see different, just make different experiences and see other ways that people are living. And I've been to different countries. I've been to America and Southeast Asia, Japan. And traveling for a few years, I met Janta in India in the early 90s. And we both shared a passion for traveling at the time. And we traveled together. And about later on, we decided to start our family. And I came to live in UK also in the early 90s. And we lived in West Wales. I lived there for 7 years, and Janta's lived there for 17 years. Because it's always held a special magic for him, West Wales, being away from England and more wild. And this is where our two boys were born. The older one is called Caio, which is also a Welsh name, and Soma.
We started a family and we lived in Wales. And at some point we bought a semi-derelict cottage, one of the last of the cheap traditional stone cottages. And we worked on that cottage and transformed it, and we transformed the garden and landscaped the garden. And after 7 years, like, the project was over. I'd experienced some good times in Portugal whilst I was out on meditation retreats, and I realised that with Mirav having not very good circulation, and, well, basically I just like the style of life in Portugal, that maybe we should move and sell up and move out to Portugal. So that's something that we did. We sold the house to start a new life in Portugal. In total, we lived in Portugal 2 years. And when we returned from Portugal, because we weren't able to achieve what we wanted to achieve there, that's another story. So we got back to the UK, and we were looking for a house, actually, and we gave up on the idea of starting a project, whilst we were in Portugal. We were actually looking for a piece of land with just any small house, really, any small ruin, so that we could do something like Karuna in Portugal. I used to work as a Thai yoga master for 5 years in Wales and a year in Portugal. So I've always been interested in various yoga systems, and not always, but for a long time. Well, right, a long way back, actually. I used to sit in full lotus as a kid. Yeah, I got this yoga background and also a martial arts background. And so later on, after I'd explored various yogas...
Sorry, Janta.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut in. What martial arts did you do? Because I've done a bit of martial arts. I'm just interested to know.
Sakudo, which is a full contact karate. I started with judo as a kid, actually.
Yeah.
I think that's what brought me into it. And then kind of freestyle.
Cool. Yeah. I did taekwondo.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Korean.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right. No worries. So, a bit later on, I left the martial arts thing behind a long time ago and got into yogas. And then I started exploring Chinese systems, Qigong and Tai Chi, which I did for 12 years, for about 12 years. And all this was kind of related to growing food and healthy diet and stuff. So I've always had this interest in health. So I think all that comes into Karuna.
And while we were looking around for a house to buy, we were driving around the countryside thinking that maybe Shropshire is a good place to be, because we were in West Wales previously, and we were thinking of maybe being in a border country you'll have more opportunities, you'll have a bit of both, a bit of Wales and a bit of England. And we were just looking for a place to camp for the night, and we just parked in this field on the Longmynd one night.
And it was dark when we arrived, and when we woke up in the morning, apart from the energy of the place, we saw the outstanding views of the distant Wrekin, which is sort of like a dinosaur's back poking up out of the flats of Shropshire, looking over towards Telford. And beyond that, you've got Birmingham. And then you can look up on a clear day and see all the way up to Chester. And then you've got the more local hills, because we are on the threshold of the Longmynd, the upper slopes, really. So you can see the Stretton Hills, and just beyond that, you can see Wenlock Edge, where a great inspiration to us, Robert Hart, pioneered temperate climate forest gardening.
What sort of feeling was it that made this field?
At the gate, we noticed that this field was actually for sale. We were just seeking for a place to pitch a tent the night, and there it was. It's actually coming up for auction. So we decided that we'd go along to the auction and see if we could buy it. By this time, the money that we'd had from the sale of a property was dwindling down. We'd been floating around the planet for a while, and the money was going down. And we'd actually given up the idea of buying a piece of land. But we stumbled across this piece of land, and we thought, yeah, we'll go to auction and see if we can buy it. And surprise, surprise, we were successful. Just as the hammer was going down, I'm quite a discreet bidder after being in and out of auctions for donkey's years to pay the bills whilst I was living in Wales, in and out of auctions to buy and sell bric-a-brac and stuff. So surprisingly, we won the bid. What Mirav was saying about the energy, there was a very special energy about this place. And... although it's a beautiful place, I have to say there's a lot of monoculture in the area. And I'd come from an area of Wales where there was a lot of trees. And there was something a bit sad about this area. And I felt like I wanted to buy this land and reforest it and practice agroforestry, whilst at the same time merge, create a place of well-being and merge my interests of well-being into this piece of land. So that's what we did. We bought the land in 2005, December, and got a Forestry Commission grant for 4,000 trees. And in one season, with the help of our kids, we live in off-site and commuted from 10 miles away. Planted 4,000 trees and set out about designing the initial design for this site, which needed protection because it's a very windy site and there aren't many trees to give it cover. There are only several around. That it's an 18-acre site, and there are some beautiful large trees in the hedgerows and one or two scattered throughout the area, which were originally, the field itself was originally divided into seven fields, which would have had hedgerows in, and some of those trees still existed. So there were just a few mature trees existing. And if you see any of the aerial views of Coruna, which you can see, and I'll tell you about those later, but you'll see everything you see there, all those trees. By now we've planted 9,000 trees on the site, over 9,000 trees. And
Can I just reiterate, that's the four of you, isn't it, as a family?
That's the four of us as a family.
Phenomenal.
We're not community. People think, I like it when you come in and say things, because I'm not quite, it feels like I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, I know, it does sometimes.
And we planted them all, we've dug proper holes for them, we did a notch plant. I don't know if you know about tree planting, but there's a method called notch planting, which is a lot quicker, where you just stick the spade in and wiggle it about and put the tree in.
You just stuff the tree roots into the hole and then you bang it down with the heel of your boot. Well, I think what Miraz's trying to say is we called Karuna Karuna, which translates from Sanskrit as compassion. And, well, that's compassion for the land, compassion for all living things, really. Care for the land and you're caring for yourself, basically. When we looked around us and we saw that the area was so so conditioned by man, and in comparatively from wild Wales where we'd come, we thought, yeah, let's put a bit of wildness back here, back, because it's been stripped of all its wildness. We wanted to put something back and some diversity back into the landscape and start working with agroforestry, particularly using permaculture techniques and applying forest gardening techniques. So do you want to ask me another question?
Well, I think that kind of is up to the point, you know, you planted the trees and that's when you started to get sort of problems with farmers and kind of, you know, sort of council issues, isn't it then?
Yeah, well, what happened was we bought a piece of agricultural land, and agricultural land isn't for living on. And we didn't live on it, not for 2.5 years. We were just working on the design and planting trees. And just planting trees doesn't necessarily demand the need for living on the land. But when that phase was over, we knew that we had an intention to eventually live on the land. Because what we wanted to do was start a project, an alternative agricultural project. And However, there were some issues over a barn that we erected, having applied twice and been refused by the local authority, which we actually had planning development rights on. So we received a stop notice on that from the local planning authority, and it took us a year. We were struggling to get it was not quite complete. It was a barn for the hay, away from the area in which we live at the moment, and I tried to locate it discreetly at the lower part of the land so that it wouldn't be noticed. But someone reported us, and within a few days they came. We got the support of a local councillor on the housing estate that we were living. After a year and finding support, we were new to the area and started to use a laptop for the first time, from all powered by wind and sun. We started to get support, and we were fortunate in that we were allowed to keep our barn, a small, discreet, environmentally friendly barn. So we got permission for that, and some of the nearby neighbours were a bit peeved by that, and their response, an individual's response, I must point out, was to come out and poison over 100 of our trees. So this meant that we were shocked and disappointed, and after all the hard work that we've done, and wanted to protect our interests. So having sent off the poisoned trees to the Forestry Commission's laboratories and getting back a result stipulating that the trees had been poisoned, we decided that it was in our interest to now move on to the land without seeking permission, but to just as a pure response, because as soon as we're not here, any antagonists could arrive and continue to poison our trees or damage our property. So we came here, and within 24 hours of moving a 1960s showman's caravan onto site, we got a visit from the local planning authority, and 5 years of planning battles ensued, which was a long, tiresome, drawn-out, traumatic for us event, and a total waste of
everybody's time,
public money. It was a waste of everyone's time, except for the people that are inside the system that are dealing with us. Kind of, you got a strong feeling that they were just doing this to keep their jobs. But you also got a strong feeling that there were some influential near neighbours that were upset that we'd actually outbid them at auction. And I pulled a few strings in the council. And that's why all that kind of took off, and it kind of spiralled, and it was kind of, they stuck their heels in and didn't want to go back, even though we produced a lot of evidence, a good reason for why we needed to be on the site. And the site was now developing, and we were by that time starting to run our first courses in permaculture, basket making, African drumming, siding, forest gardening,
low impact living.
So we'd started to try to work the project as an educational resource, and we've been doing that for a long time, those 5 years. But what we've been actually doing is we've been maintaining an 18-acre site and continuing on building the design of the site, developing an educational resource and making all the relevant contacts. And by side of that, we've been fighting local authorities, which meant going in and out of appeals and courts. Twice we had to go to London to the High Court. And, we couldn't really believe that this was going on for so long. We thought that they might just give us a break after, like, 2 years and say, yeah, I think these people are doing good work. Why don't we let them get on with their work? I've always felt like we're doing the kind of work that the council should actually be doing, really. And we still, although it, after 5 years, to cut a long story short, because you can talk about planning for a long time, and I don't want to. I suppose to cut a long story short, we should just say that we found a loophole in the system. In the time that we were going through this, the years passed and we were going through these appeals and we were on site, we were never actually out of law. We were just going through the system. So we actually earned, we ticked the boxes and earned the right. I might be saying it wrong, but kind of earned the right to be here if we put in a planning application for an affordable self-build planning application, which actually allows you to build in scattered settlements and out of the village. So we got a tremendous amount of support for that anyway. And hooray, at the end of it, after High Court appeals and we were actually, before we put that application in, I'll just say that we'd actually lost at High Court in London and we were facing an eviction, and it was very worrying because we weren't prepared to move because we had actually invested our life savings in this project. And and also the planning application did go to the county hall, to the planning committee, and it was amazing. There were only I think about 7 objection letters from the usual, and the only objectors really have only ever really been a few near neighbours.
We had over 100
support letters from people. Sustainability lecturers, people working for Centre of Alternative Technology, good people, people that from all walks of life, really, all kinds of people, professors. I mean, you can say all the kind of top knobs and people that are sort of like very concerned about the environment and nature and preserving and preserving nature, because Karuna is a nature reserve. It's so we got so much support, basically, because Karuna is actually a multifunctional agroforestry project. It supplies materials for fuel and building. It's also not just an educational centre, but it's also an arboretum. As the trees become thinned out and certain trees will remain, it will always remain a woodland, although there's wood there to be felled and taken out. And, of course, a primary focus is food. It's an edible landscape that we're creating. So we got a lot of support from a lot of different people, people that are just into wildlife or whatever. And so when it came to voting time at the county hall, the application was actually for the straw bale roundhouse, which was there we were standing watching these people, councillors, vote on this application, which had been recommended for approval by the case officer. And, well, it was came out as a 50-50 vote. 50% of the councillors voted against it and 50% of them voted for it.
That was scary.
It was very scary. Fortunately, well, I'll have to say it, but it was all the Tories that voted against it. And all the other parties that were sitting there that voted for it. But it came out as a 50-50, so it's down to the chairman's casting vote. And fortunately, there was a Labour chairman on that day, and he put his arm up immediately. He just looked from side to side and stuck his hand up, and he said, "I'll go with the case officer's approval." Well, of course, the case officer has looked into the application and is used to seeing these applications. And that's why it was recommended for approval, because we ticked all the boxes. So why are 50% of them even voting against this application anyway, in any case? I think it's just the nature of some of this council in Shropshire that we've got, in Shrewsbury. They can't see a good thing if you stick it right under their nose. One example is one of those councillors happens to be on the AOMB, which is an area of outstanding natural beauty, and Karuna is in an AOMB. And we've requested to be admitted into the Sustainable Businesses Directory twice now, and we get to get refused because there's an abuse of power there. This councillor who is on the committee is the chairman for the AOMB, or at least he was the last time I heard, who was supporting the antagonists that probably just to stay in with them. You know, the few local farmers that were kind of against us, who are also local parish councillors. Even to this day, they won't allow us to be in the Sustainable Businesses Directory, and we're probably one of the most sustainable projects going on in the area. And we bring a lot of, you know, we get people in the pubs, people come and visit, they do courses over the weekend. We recently had a double-decker bus supporting 26 cyclists doing the end-to-end route for charity, cycling from Land's End to John O'Groats. Well, they all went down to the local pub, which is incidentally only just reopened after closing for the first time in 100 years, because there's no business and no people out. And we're bringing life to the countryside, and these Tories are sitting there voting against a very positive project that's actually generating business. Sometimes I just feel that it's because we're like peasants and we're just small-scale agriculture, and they only want to support large-scale agriculture. I think I should not sort of talk about that anymore.
No.
It's depressing for me. Because it's something that I can't do anything about, and it's in my past really now. But I think it's important to make people aware of the fact that, yes, we're here, and people visit in the summer and they go, what a beautiful place you live in, but they don't actually understand. My hair turned grey within those 5 years, those traumatic 5 years of, you know, I didn't know whether my investment in an agricultural project was going to pay off purely because a few people were pulling strings in the council. But I think as time passed, we kind of proved ourselves to some people in the council, because they're not all the same. And to start with, maybe there's a kind of reactionary thing went on. And then, like I say, they dug their heels in and it spiraled. And they found it difficult to let go. But eventually, anyway, we did meet some reasonable people from the planning department, actually. And when we first met them about a couple of years ago, we were astounded that they're actually reasonable, what I call real people, working. Because up until that point, I'd had a lot to do with enforcement officers, and who quite frequently on power trips. Let's not talk about that anymore. Talk about, what would you like us to talk about? Shall we talk about Mirabwood? What would you like to say? Sorry? What would you like to say, Narice?
I was just going to finish that point and say, you know, obviously it was a difficult period for yourselves, but it's important that you bring it up, because I think a lot of us are kind of feeling that one, and there's that kind of grating with councils because they are blocking an alternative way. I know we spoke a little bit about this the other night, you know, and there's a lot of things that can be done to achieve proper local economies, you know, to bring stability to communities and happiness to communities. you know, a little bit more happiness wouldn't go amiss, would it? You know, and so, you know, I think, although, as I said to you, I'm in a house currently, so, you know, I have got certain comforts that you guys haven't got there, and I really admire you for, you know, standing up and kind of, well, it is non-compliance, I would say. I don't know if you agree, you know. It's just of saying there is another way, and, you know, we just want to get on and do it, really, rather than, you know, have to go through all this, well, there's this legislation there, and I can't put that there, and even though it's my land, and, you know. So, you know, what you have achieved is amazing.
Thanks.
I just like perhaps to mention what we are offering now, you know, as a project. We have some courses every summer. This summer we have, for the first time, a 2 weeks residential permaculture design course in July with Chris Evans. Do you know Chris Evans?
Yes, I don't know him well. I do know Luby.
You know,
I have met her. Yeah, she's going to be there as well, isn't she?
Yeah, Luby's wife. Yeah, she wrote a book, didn't she, last year on people and permaculture.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Chris is he's apart from being a lovely man, he's a fantastic forest garden, well, all round permaculture teacher. Actually, he works. He speaks Nepali and has been working on reforestation projects in Nepal for, I think, around 20 years. But he works in the UK, I think, predominantly. He's worked here on courses for 5 years now. And we've worked it out with the Workers' Education Authority so that we can have this permaculture design course run by Chris at Karuna. It's the first time we've had it's a camping situation where people camp.
Sorry, Janta, can you hear that? That's the police helicopter going overhead. I don't know if I've got background noise. That's the dark city for you. Police helicopter, and then it's set all the dogs off along the row there. It's like Hound of the Baskervilles. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear that.
I can't hear it.
I can't hear it.
Oh, that's okay then. Carry on.
Maybe I'll hear it when they come through the door. I hope not. So we've got that. That's the 26th, the 11th to the 24th of July, a full permaculture design course with Chris. And then in July, we've got a permaculture in 3 days course led by Dr. Jan Martin of Aberystwyth University. We've been working in liaison with Aberystwyth University for a few years now with these 3 day permaculture courses, intro courses, that always go down very well. And actually that's expanding, and next year they're going to be doing an ecology course at Karuna. So it's growing in small ways all the time.
Do you think the Welsh Assembly are a little bit more progressive, possibly, or have individuals within it that, you know, more individuals that are a little bit more forward-thinking?
Yeah, I think England's got a lot of catching up to do relation to that, because England isn't supporting low-impact development, whereas Wales does have a low-impact development policy in place, and it is being exercised. There is the project that's changed its name now to a Welsh name, and I don't know that, but it's the Llamas project.
Yes. Have they changed names?
Yeah, well, it's the Llamas. It might still be the Llamas project, but I think it's got another name now. But that's an 80-acre project with about with several families, because I can't stipulate exactly how many, but not say anything. But there's several families living on that. I think it's about 80 acres. So projects like that will be our flagships, and will demonstrate, hopefully, more sustainable ways of living, which should really be happening in England.
Mm. Well, you know? I was chatting to my mum earlier and I came up with this theory. I do like to do that. That, you know, in Wales, it's kind of, the nature's more in your face, isn't it? I mean, I love Wales. It's my favourite place. You know, it's there, isn't it? So, you know, in England, it's easier for more people to be disconnected from nature, whereas even in sort of, you know, I don't know, Swansea, Newport, even Cardiff even, where obviously there are cities and it is more industrial in parts, the hills are still there, it's still...
Well, we've just had last week we had a group visit from Swansea, actually.
Mm.
I know what you're saying, even if they're living in the cities, Cardiff and Swansea, they've got that kind of interest. And,
And one of the best ways to experience Corona is to arrange a group visit, because we can't entertain individuals. That sometimes people contact us and they ask, oh, can I just come and have a look around your site? And we just can't stop and show them around, because it's it doesn't pay. But we do take group visits, so if you get a group of friends that you want to come, then you arrange it with us. And that is the best way. That's what these people from Swansea, they've arranged it, and they came by train from Swansea, and then they were very inspired. They came a long way.
I've got a little plan formulating, actually, because I'd love to attend the 2-week course, but I can't with the kids and everything that's going on here. Newly single and whatnot. I've got stuff going on. So,
I can come to the country in 3 days.
I've done an introductory course. I would quite like to do the full design course, but I think I can get a group visit. I think I know enough people.
Great.
Together to come and visit you, so I think
do it. That's why we're here now, isn't it? Because we came over to Birmingham to give a presentation at the a vegan or vegetarian cafe. We have made some quite good links through that, and mm-hmm. I even ended up going over to Birmingham to Forest Food Brum. To teach in a community centre in Birmingham how to graft apple trees. We're not talking much permaculture at the moment, but I'm sure next week we will.
it's all part of it, isn't it? Yeah, and in fact, we did have Felipe came on the show a few weeks back. Yeah, he was amazing, actually, because I was supposed to be having one guest on, and that just never happened, and it was all complete nightmare. And then 10 minutes before we were due to go on, I saw he was online, and I sent him a message saying, please, come on. And he came on, and obviously, you know, he's got lots of fabulous stuff to say as well. So, Felipe is doing great work in Birmingham too, you know.
Yeah, what's that organisation? I mean, we went through his...
Spring to Life,
isn't it?
Yeah.
He works with. I think they got quite a lot of council funding. There you go, you know, all councils are different everywhere, and some councils will get behind these kind of projects and support them, whereas others won't touch them with a barge pole. And in fact, they'll go out of their way and spend and waste loads of money to stop them getting on with it. I'm connected to, or have been in the past, connected, because I'm from Nottingham originally. There's a great project called EcoWorks in Nottingham, and that's been massively supported by the council, and it's a really good project that's grown and developed box schemes, and it's even linked up with farmers on the outer edge of the... It's actually run on the country's largest allotments in St Anne's in Nottingham. Oh. And it's grown so much. I went to an open day there, because Karuna is a part of the Land Project, which is an initiative set out by the Permaculture Association Britain. And when there was like the inauguration for the Land Project, Karuna was the fourth Land Project, and there are now over 60. The land project is a project that's over the years, it's pulled together over 60, I think 65 projects, demonstration sites throughout the country that are demonstrating
You can go and learn about permaculture.
Techniques where you can learn about permaculture. They're just demonstration sites, and they're all different. Some are in a city and some are out of the city. But what I liked about EcoWorks, where the land project was inaugurated from, is the fact that it demonstrates that it grew and it got bigger and bigger, and then it linked up with farmers in Nottinghamshire on the edges of the built-up areas. Farmers who didn't immediately just dive into permaculture, but they're using the edges of their land to experiment and start farming in a different way. Which is really interesting. It shows you the impact and the benefits that come from these kind of projects that start off as small projects. And obviously that project has done well because it is supported by the council.
Mm. Well, I think we've got a couple of minutes to go, guys, now. So you've got a blog, haven't you, which I wasn't aware of. So,
Yeah, that's Karuna Roots blog, wordpress.com. The website, the www.karuna.org.uk, is presently down. So if you do want to get some idea of Karuna, if you go into the blog, which is a kind of newsletter, you can get some good ideas about what we're about. And the last blog that I did was actually, the main purpose of it was to make people aware of the crowdfunding video that we made. Miravel, tell them about the crowdfunding.
The crowdfunding.
Sponsum.
We used crowdfunding to raise funds for the roundhouse. Probably when we were talking about planning, we say that it took 5 years, and the end result is that we've got permission to build a house here, which is a special house. It's a straw bale round house, built with straw bale and turf roof, which we haven't started building yet. We're starting in a couple of weeks, and we've started a campaign to raise money to build the round house, which is a house and office for the project, all the same. And I don't know if you're aware of crowdfunding. It's maybe you are.
I've heard of it.
And we've managed to raise £5,000 through the crowdfunding. We've made two videos in a period of time of a few weeks, and we managed to connect to quite a lot of people, some that we know and some that we don't know. And it was a new experience for us, trying to raise the funds in that way, because in these years, I think we've particularly Janta has done a lot of campaigning on the planning front, and asking people for support letters and for their support. But idea is different.
Don't interrupt. I think we're out of time there, guys, for this evening.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. You'll have to come back again.